Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
We're joined this morning by Mick Billing, Executive Chairman of Thor Mining PLC, listed on the AIM, London Stock Market and ASX Australia. Mick, how are you doing this morning?
G'day, Alex. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's lovely to catch up with you. You've been very busy over the last month plus, I see.
We have. I guess commencing a couple of months ago, we decided we would get into the tungsten business. Into the lithium business in the United States. And then shortly afterwards, a few weeks ago, we announced that we were getting into the copper business here in South Australia, where I live. And yes, we've just started drilling at Pilot Mountain in Nevada, and the first of those results have rolled out, and we're pretty happy with them.
Definitely. I don't know where to start with you for your shareholders. Which, you've got that much going on.
In the first instance, Alex, I've been a big fan of copper for many, many years, and it seems like the market is catching up, and the copper price has improved quite a lot in the last few weeks. But we've been working on this copper deal since the back half of 2016, and we've agreed to invest in a company that has got a bit of intellectual property in situ recovery of copper and other commodities for that matter. And they, in turn, are investing in a project here in South Australia, about an hour and 20 minutes north of where I live, which is basically a deposit that is the home of copper mining in Australia, at Kapunda.
Yeah.
Copper was mined at Kapunda in the late 1900s for 20 or 30 years, shipping very high grade off back to the UK. And then that was tribute mined for in a smaller scale for a little bit after that, but has not been mined. There's been no mining carrying on at Kapunda for more than 100 years. It sits very close to the edge of the town, and conventional mining, open cut or underground, probably wouldn't work when you're that close to the town and the local population. But it is, we believe, very suitable for in situ recovery. In situ recovery requires a number of ingredients to make it work. It requires that the copper mineralization is of the oxidized category. It can't be primary chalcocite or bornite or anything, chalcopyrite or bornite or anything like that. It's got to be malachite, azurite, and perhaps a bit of chalcocite with it. And that normally occurs towards the top of a deposit where it's been exposed to weathering over the millions of years. And that's the case at Kapunda for what we believe is enough copper for us to hopefully process and recover for 8 or 10 years or so. The next ingredient has to be that the fluid that the in situ recovery relies upon to dissolve the mineral, be it copper, gold, uranium, or whatever. If the ground conditions allow the flow of fluid through that, and it certainly does do that, whether it does it uniformly enough at Kapunda, where the ore body has the copper in it, is what we have to test. We don't have to test to see if there's copper there. There's an enormous amount of drilling information that says that it's there, and so we're not going to go out and drill for a resource. We've got sufficient information to do that resource estimate, and we're going through that process now, and hopefully there'll be a resource estimate announced in the next couple of weeks. And so those are the principal ingredients. We have to make sure that we can recover the copper in this instance safely in an environmentally friendly manner, and that the conditions suit that. And and that's what we're going to set about demonstrating in the next little while.
I'm just looking at there, Mick. It's it's amazing historical when you think about it. It says Kapunda for 30 years it was mined for copper in 30 years until 1877. It's unreal. The history is unbelievable.
Yeah. It is, and you know they were pinching very high grade ore out of the ground and putting on a boat. You know, roughly about 30% or more copper. You know, they picked the eyes out of it. Obviously, the old timers, but there's still a lot of relatively low grade, which is ideal for in situ recovery to work. The other thing that a lot of investors may not be aware of is that in situ leaching or in situ recovery techniques. Are not foreign to South Australia. We've been in South Australia doing this in the uranium business for it's about 2002 or thereabouts. And in fact, one of the mines that that has been using this technique, Beverly, is a mine that I was associated with back in the 1980s when we were trying to get that mine going back then. But so there's a body of knowledge about in situ recovery techniques in South Australia amongst the geologists, the metallurgists, the engineers and the consultants around. So it's this is not while this is something that we will have to demonstrate works, there's a bunch of people around who if it can work will know how to make it work right here in South Australia. And I guess the final thing is that copper right now is up at $6,500 a ton. It hasn't been there for a little while, and the forecasters in metal pricing, if you believe them, are saying that in the next couple of years, copper's going to get to about $8,000 a ton. Now that's that will be tremendous if it happens, but it's on the back, I think, of no new big mines anyway,
yeah,
scheduled to come on stream for a while, and all these hybrid and electric cars that are starting to come off the production line all around the globe, they use between 2.5 and 3 times as much copper as a standard petrol or diesel-driven vehicle. So, and that trend is not going to stop. There are going to be more and more diesel and hybrid cars on the road every year. A couple of big European car manufacturers have said they're going to stop producing diesel and petrol driven cars, and they're going to be all hybrid or electric within a few years. This is a trend that's going to continue and will accelerate, and that's good for copper.
Well, definitely, because I know Norway, they're talking about introducing it by 2030. The UK is 2040, so it's definitely the way Europe's going at the moment from our side of the pond.
Yeah, and I understand Volvo are going to stop producing petrol and diesel-driven cars, and one of the French manufacturers, I think Renault, are going to do the same. But I think it's Renault. I could be wrong there.
Yeah, but like you say, these mineral companies and everything, they've got to get these resources from somewhere. So like you say, you're positioned in the market. I've got to take you across to the lithium conversation, which you announced in July in the RNS in the USA.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So could you tell your viewers what you're doing there, please?
Yeah, sure. And to some extent, the thing that influences us to get into copper is it's the same catalyst for lithium, because lithium's an essential component of the batteries that go into the not just the hybrid and electric vehicles, but a whole bunch of other battery technology as well. We had the opportunity to invest in a modest way into this little company, US Lithium, who've got a project in Arizona. They've got a couple of other projects, but the Big Sandy project in Arizona is the one that is the one that really gets the juices flowing for us. We're going through a due diligence process whereby we've talk to the regulators and make sure that the license to do the things that are needed to do in good shape. We've taken some samples and we're getting some test work done to make sure that, one, the grade of the lithium stacks up and has a chance of being economic, and two, that it is it appears in a form that you've got a reasonable chance of producing a saleable product. We're going through that process at the moment, and I seriously hope that results will come back hopefully pretty soon. And I hope they come back as positive results that allow us to exercise the option that we've got to go to 100% of that. I can't predict what they will be, but obviously we went into this with a little bit of confidence that some of the ingredients were there, and we need to get some more confidence. And if that happens, yeah, we'll be taking on the Big Sandy project 100% as soon as we can.
That's unbelievable. That's, you've got a copper, you've got lithium, and obviously now the one I see as well is it's Pilot Mountain, the tungsten project in Nevada, USA. 100% you own it. So a lot of news on that.
We do. We do. We own it, and it's and the price of tungsten has gone up almost 30% so far this year. If you go back to January 2016, it's gone up well over 50%. But let's just take this year 30% increase for the first 8 months of the year is very good indeed. And the latest increase has been on the back of, been at a time when the market for tungsten is normally a little soft, because a lot of factories go into basically their winter break in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah.
And demand weakens a little bit. Now, the fact that it's demand and the price has gone up in that period, I think is very encouraging. And hopefully as people come back for holidays and these factories kick off again, the price improvements will continue. But Pilot Mountain is not just tungsten; it's predominantly tungsten. But there's also copper there, and I've probably banged on enough about copper. but there's also zinc there, and again, the price of zinc is now over $3,000 a ton, and that's a very good price for zinc. And again, the forecasters for zinc are saying that the price of zinc is going to keep going up. So we're pretty happy about that. We started drilling at Pilot Mountain a couple of weeks ago. We had some issues with the drillers and the drilling for a little while, so we got off to a slowish start. But we're doing two things there. One, in the first instance, we're drilling at Desert Scheelite underneath the existing resource there, where we believe there's a very good chance that some high-grade intersections we've previously uncovered will extend. And we're doing that with diamond drilling. And hopefully we're getting relatively close to the area at depth where that mineralization is expected to be. We're not quite there yet, but I think we should be getting there in the next few days. The other thing we're doing at Pilot Mountain, the other drill opportunity we're taking advantage of is at Good Hope, where there's very little historical drilling and not a lot of knowledge. There's one hole from a long time ago that basically drilled right down the centre of the of a mineralised zone that went 30 odd metres at nearly 0.5% tungsten plus some reasonable copper and zinc. We've stepped back, and in the first hole we've tried to intersect that at an angle. Not expecting to see any mineralization in the first, I don't know, 15 to 20 metres, and then to get into 10 or so metres of that mineralized zone. We got it wrong. We've and we've intersected mineralization of tungsten, copper, and zinc right from surface. And that went for 17 or so meters at about 0.2% tungsten, about just over 1% each of copper and zinc, and that was unexpected. And then we got down to the expected zone of mineralization, and the tungsten assays went up by a bit over 50%. So. So we were pretty happy with that. We got these results using a handheld XRF unit, Alex, and that's not a definitive assay. It's quite accurate for the little bit of the material that the XRF unit faces up against, but that's a relatively small portion of the overall sample. So we're going to have to wait for the normal assays to go off to the lab, and all the samples to go off to the lab and come back with those assays. That'll take several weeks, but we think this is probably a reasonably good indication of what we might get, without guaranteeing that, and we think that's pretty encouraging.
I've seen a lot of pictures. I go in Twitter DM groups, and I've seen pictures of you guys. And it's just unbelievable, the size of a pile of mountain, the actual size of it. It's unreal.
It's a big hill. It is a big hill. The bottom part of the deposit's about just over 5,500 feet up above sea level. And the top deposit at Gunmetal is probably about 8,000 feet up. During winter, and we were drilling there back in February, it was cold and there was ice on the ground and all that sort of stuff. Now it's peak summer, it's not too bad, but it is a significant hill. There's an enormous amount of faulting for the technical geologists. There's a lot of stuff that they find fascinating. I'm more interested in finding an ore body that we can develop and turn into a mine. But it's a pretty interesting part of the world.
And so just to round off, we were on Twitter yesterday on our Twitter account, and we put out your RNS and everything. Then a Chinese company came in, China Tungsten, and they were asking where the mine was located and everything. The reason I'm mentioning this, it's amazing that a Chinese company can pick up on social media your RNS and then interact with ShareTalk. Unreal. It's mad.
They're a pretty amazing bunch of folk, the Chinese people, and they've been in, you know, they've been in the tungsten industry all through the 80s, 90s, and the early part of this century, when the tungsten industry basically shut down. So the expertise in tungsten in China is still well in advance of the expertise around a lot of the rest of the world, because they kept on going when everybody else stopped. I've got the largest reserves in the world of tungsten. I think they've got between 50% and 60% of world reserves, depending on who you listen to. But they also consume about 80% of the world's tungsten. So they're the largest producer, but they still consume more than they use. So interesting that they appeared on their radar.
Yeah, it is interesting, actually. I just shows you social media, the internet these days. They just popped up and we were interacting. We actually sent them an email with your details. So it's
truthful. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. They haven't rung me up yet, Alex. But if they do, I won't refuse to take their call. I'll be very pleased to have the conversation. But the International Tungsten Industry Association has its annual meeting next month. I'll be there, and I suspect they will be there as well. So who knows?
All right. By the way, Mick, as always, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Alex, it's lovely to talk to you again, and have a good day.
All right. Thanks, mate.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.